Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk. Let me start this sermon this way here and say hello, everybody out there in podcast land and Periscope. So tomorrow is going to be a big day in the Burt household, because my daughter Cassie and I are going to go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. All right, so this is a big deal, Cassie used to be kind of like my movie partner, so we would go see movies together, daddy-daughter date, and now that she's older, like 25, now there's a lot of confusion when I go with my daughter on a daddy-daughter date. They kind of look and they're like, is this a creepy old man, or is he just really rich, or kind of what's that, right? And so, but when we were younger, it was really awesome, and I can remember going to see the Chronicles of Narnia with my daughter Cassie. I think it was back in 2005. I can remember it was snowing out, and we went to the AMC theaters in Wayne, and we went there. And if you're not familiar with the story, it very much is foreshadowing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they have this great lion character by the name of Aslan. And for the record, I don't want to wreck it for you, but he died in it. Okay. Good news is he got up again. Does that sound familiar? And I'm bawling. I'm just crying, violently sobbing in the theater. You know, here we have my like 11, 12-year-old daughter's like, Dad, get it together. It's just a movie, right? And so, but as I'm watching this, I was reminded of Aslan. He actually, in one of the other episodes, they actually had one of the children, the characters, they hadn't seen Aslan, the great Lion King, in some time. And they approached him, and she says to him, I believe her name is Lucy, and Lucy says, Aslan, you've grown. And she says, Aslan says this. He says, no, I haven't grown, but as you'll grow, I'll seem bigger. And honestly, that is really what we're going to be talking about today is spiritual growth and how God begins to increase in our life. If we're in a series called Go Beyond, and really we believe that God has called you and I to live a go beyond life. That Jesus says, like he walked the earth and he did miracles and all these things. And he says, the works that I do, you're going to do an even greater works than these. And so God, he's called us to live a go beyond life. And last week we touched on this, that he's called us to be salt in the earth, and salt's a preservative. And so we're to preserve the words and the ways of Jesus. He says, you're a city set on a hill. You're the light of the world. That as we live our Christian faith out, that we should begin to show the world that becomes light, saying, hey, this is how God says marriage works. This is how relationships work. This is how money works. This is how food works. On and on it goes. We begin to model. Hey, can I just say this? We model it imperfectly. So if you're not a Christian, let me just be we know we're not doing a great job, but we're going to continue to keep striving to do that, to go beyond. And so we looked also at the Beatitudes. And so I'm not sure how many have ever, we talked last week about that blessed are those who mourn. And blessed are the poor in spirit. And it doesn't sound like that's a blessing to me to mourn and kind of be Debbie Downer or something. But we began to unpack exactly what that means. And for the record, we're going to look at a few more of the Beatitudes today. And sometimes they can feel somewhat impossible. But here's what I need you to get. Is much like Aslan says, that the more you mature, I will seem bigger. That really walking out and living out the Beatitudes is nothing more than receiving a transformed heart and your heart growing in God. And now suddenly things that are difficult on the outside become easier because of your affection for Christ. You have Christ's heart on the inside of you. And so that's kind of where we're going. And so today we'll look at blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart, these type of things. And so let me say this. So back in, I believe it was 1985, I moved up to North Bay, Ontario. I was 16 years old and moved up there to play hockey, trying to make it into the pros. And so I moved up there. And how many know Canada is an unbelievably weird place with weird people? All right. So they're odd. Like they're the most awkwardly kind, nice people you've ever met. Like you go there and everybody wants to talk and have a conversation with you. You know, me being born in the Midwest, Northeast, you know, I go there and they're like, hey, chum, how you doing? Like, and they're talking, you're like, what does this guy want? You know, he wants, in fact, when I go, the reason why I can talk about the Canadians is because I'm married to one, and so when I visit my wife's in-laws up in Canada, and whenever I'm up there for any length of time, like, I just need to get back to New York and New Jersey, you know, where people give me the bird when I'm driving, and that kind of, like, ah. Oh. I'm home again, right? Because they're just so nice. And I don't know if you realize, if you've ever spoken to a Canadian, please strike up a conversation with my wife today, although she's kind of losing her Canadian accent. But they say every statement like it's a question. It's a nice day out, right? And so they kind of go at the end. Or everything at the end of everything you say is, eh? Eh? And so kind of they talk that things. See, for example, that stand is not black, it's block. And we're gonna, it's a boat, okay? And so they have this, they talk really weird. They eat really odd things. First of all, like, beer is one of the four major food groups up in Canada, just so you know. And then, have you ever eaten the chips in Canada? They have dill pickle chips. They have ketchup. Some of you like that. Like, what is that? They have ketchup. Chips, you know, these kind of, like, I was like, who would even think of these things, right? And but they do have something that's unbelievably fantastic. Have you ever had poutine? Oh my Jesus, it's fries with gravy with cheese all over the top of it. Now granted, you're probably going to die and see the Lord sooner than you normally would if you eat that, but it is delicious. And so I reference all that stuff to say this, is that I lived there, and these things that seem so odd, so funny, suddenly after a few months began to get on me and in me, and suddenly I was craving weird things to eat. Suddenly, after every statement I would make, I'd say, eh? Right? And see, things that have been, I started to change when I was in that atmosphere. There was also, in May 27th, 1989, I married Susan Scott, okay? And so I married her. And very, very quickly, we proceeded to have two daughters. So don't make me explain how that happened, all right? But it was very quick. And so if you need to do the math. So it's me and three women for roughly the past 25 years. And so, man, look at me, like, that'll change a man, all right? That begins to do things, because, well, like, the world of the woman is really odd. In fact, I had to get every dog. We're not allowed to get a female dog. We only can have male dogs, because I've hit my estrogen limit in the house. But it was very much a different world. Like, I learned very quickly that that there is, like, 1 week of the month for each of my girls that suddenly emotions through the roof, right? They're just through the roof. And of course, they couldn't be all timed in 1 week. It all had to be spread out, right? So there's constant, whoa, okay. And I learned during those weeks that there better be something chocolatey or salty in my house, or all, you know what's going to break loose, all right? And so there was that. I also learned that when a woman says, I have nothing to wear, that's not true. So all this time I spend with them, again, like, I began to change doing life with these three women. Like, the things that I began to crave change. Like, we just recently did this whole 30 diet. Kind of, you do away with sugars and breads. And I'm the chocolate guy. Anyone else? Like, I'm just like, man, if it ain't chocolate, it ain't dessert. And so, but I can remember the other day, like, kind of, we'll take Sunday afternoons and we just kind of eat all kinds of stuff we shouldn't eat. And I remember last week, after doing this whole 30 thing with my, I'm eating chocolate covered pretzels. And do you know what? I'm craving apples. I was like, how did that happen? Like, something, and it was just become doing life with these women and whatnot. And so transformation begins to take place with who we surround ourselves with. And I promise you, as you link up your life with the Spirit of Christ, that your life begins to get transformed and it gets changed. Our appetites, our affections, all these things change. We start to change from the inside out. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is going to say this. Hey, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But you need to go on and read the rest of that verse, because then it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's good and perfect will is. So I don't know if you get that, that once transformation begins to take place on the inside, suddenly living out the words and the ways of God becomes increasingly more and more easy to do. You'll do it naturally. You're transformed. And so, for the record, God's not after your behavior. He really isn't. He's after your heart. So if you think like we're just in here singing this morning and God's just insecure and sing to me, make much of me, it's just not true. Like when Jesus, when he was going to Jerusalem, people are singing, crying out, Hosanna to the King, glory to God. And as they're singing this song, the religious folks begin to say, hey, pump the brakes. You better tell these guys to quiet down. And what was Jesus' response? Hey, if I tell them to be quiet, the rocks are going to cry out. See, God can have rocks sing to him if he wants to. So he's not insecure. Do you know that also as well, he's not looking for, hey, I want a group of people. They'll be kind of my posse and kind of make much of it, maybe validate my ministry. That's not Jesus. Because Jesus says, hey, these stones I can raise up to be sons of Abraham. You kidding me? But really what he's after is he's after a people that he can love and you love him back. And then in turn, that love spills over and we begin to love one another. And that's the relationship he's looking for. And it's absolutely transformative. And so, God, give us grace, I pray in Jesus' name. So here's kind of like the one premise today is this, is as we talk about go beyond, and it should be Izzy on there. So I want us to go beyond doing right things to loving righteousness. So you see, that's something different. In other words, now I don't want us just to want to look good, but I want us to want to be good, okay? And those can be two very different things. And so I want our insides to match our outsides. So I was at the in the gym the other day. I'm still fighting the fight, trying not to be, fat pastor type thing. And so I'm in and listen, all men are posers. You know, you go into the gym and you're just kind of like, you're carrying buckets a little bit and just kind of, you talk, you just kind of grunt to other guys. And so I'm kind of doing that too. I got to let them know, hey, I'm for real, you better watch out, keep your distance. And so I remember I'm just about ready to get on the treadmill and I'm getting my iPhone ready to go to get the playlist going. And I thought I was hooked up to my Bluetooth headset. And then I start the playlist and it wasn't on the headset. And so blaring out of my phone was Taylor Swift. Are we out of the woods yet? Are we out of the woods? I'm like, oh, like, it was like a grenade. I jumped on it, and trying to make it stop so none of the dudes would hear me. And so I lost all man cool points in that. And so, Jesus's big idea is gonna be this, is right behavior with the wrong heart is not what he's after. And so we need to, Jesus is going to attack our heart. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, he's going to say this unbelievably scandalous statement. He says this in Matthew 5, 20, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And when Jesus would have said that, there would have been a, what? There would have been a collective gasp in the crowd because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were the religious heavyweights of their day. And so Pharisees, like, let me just help you feel a little bit how exterior-wise they were unbelievably ceremonially clean, that they tithed from their spices. So I don't know if you get that. Like we had when we visited family up in Canada, we were given sage. So we needed sage for Thanksgiving turkey and that kind of thing. And so can I just tell you what I didn't do? Like when the offering basket went around, I didn't get 10 kernels of sage and drop it in the offering bin. Pastor Dottie, remember we'd get pretzels as a gift, chocolate covered pretzels from Liz Seaholster. And what we didn't do when the offering basket went, boom, put some of the chocolate things in there. But these guys did. That's how serious they were about obeying the law, that they called them bloody Pharisees. And here's the reason why. It was because when a Pharisee would walk through town and he would see a woman, he would close his eyes right away and he would walk into walls, crash into bushes, and so he would wind up bleeding and all that. So they called them bloody Pharisees. But that's how serious they were about appearing externally righteous. That on the Sabbath, they wouldn't spit on the ground. They would only spit on a rock. Because if you spit on the ground, you are making mortar and somehow that could be used in order to do work on the Sabbath. So do you see that? Do you see like they're anal about everything? And here's what I'll say: this is, hey, I'm not saying don't be externally righteous. Please do. I'm your pastor. I want you to do that. But not at being dishonest of what's going on and disconnected of what's going on in your heart. And nowadays, we don't have the trouble of being externally righteous and then blind to what's going on in our heart. You know what we tend to do now? Now we'll just do whatever we want, and then we'll just say, oh, God knows my heart. And so you can see the disconnect there as well. And so we need to be careful of this. And so Jesus is going to expose the heart. And here's what he's going to do in Matthew 5. He's going to say this: you have heard it said, do not murder. But I say to you, if you have anger in your heart, you're off. He's going to go on and he's going to ratchet it up even more. He says, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you have lust in your heart, you're off. And so people would hear this and it's like, it feels impossible. It feels unreal. Like anybody not having a little bit, a degree of anger in their heart. Man, I won't ask for a show of hands of how many people have lusted this past week, you know? And so it feels impossible, Jesus, and even unreasonable. But here's what I would say is this. See, the root of murder is anger. That the root of adultery is lust. And so to leave that stuff unchecked in our soul and in our heart, it leaves us vulnerable. And it's dangerous. So there's a Daniela's not here today. So there's a Daniela Hoffman is she's been a member of our church probably the past decade, and she works for CNN. And she was she recently this past about 2 weeks ago did an interview with a couple in Texas, and they have they're pet lovers, and so you might want to be introduced to their pet. His name is Wild Thing, and he's a 2,500 pound bison. So do we have a picture of it, Izzy? I think we do. That's not fake. That's a real bison. And so this thing weighs 2,500 pounds. Out of the people's own mouth, this animal has almost killed them on several occasions just by the sheer weight of what he is. During the interview, the animal turned on Daniela and began to chase after her. She fell into like some bushes and had to go to the hospital, all right? And so here's what, I mention all that to say this is, I'm sure it was cute when it was a little baby bison, but that thing grows up sometimes, and bisons don't belong in your home. And you know what? Lust and anger don't belong in your heart. And so we got to do everything we can to get that thing out of there. And so I meddled last week. I'm going to meddle a little bit this week, all right? And so I just pray grace. I want you to hear my heart in this as a pastor. I just want to speak to the dudes in here, like men. There's thing that we call every man's battle. And this idea of lust in our day and age, porn, it's a man killer. And fellas, I'm speaking to you guys today, not as someone to shame on you. Shame. Are you kidding me? I'm like, oh, bro, I feel this is a battle and a struggle. And man, I pray for you. I pray for us throughout this whole thing. And here's what I've seen is this thing's a destiny killer. Man, I see men with so much gifting and talent and destiny, and the shame of porn, addiction, and these kind of things. Man, it just crushes a guy's destiny. And so can I encourage you with this? Do you know that there's a guy, St. Augustine? He's an early church father. Do you know before he was converted, men, he was a sex addict. He just, man, women in every city and all this stuff. Then Jesus captured his heart and he got born again. But guess what? That other stuff didn't go away in his heart. And so he actually prayed this prayer. He prayed this prayer to Jesus. Jesus, please make me chaste, but not now. So you get to feel that, but I still kind of like this, Jesus. And he says something happened as he began to fall more in love with Jesus. This sexual hold that was on him lost its power and its strength. So men, my encouragement to you is not to beat you up. Mine is this: hey man, love Jesus. Bro, get after Jesus. And as you do that, I promise you, your heart will be transformed. Men, you're off the hook because I'm going to speak to the ladies in here. Ladies, is this. I've seen a very high degree. There's this fantasy lust this romance porn that I can see in the lives of women. And what happens is you get caught up in the imagination of your mind, and then you feel like, man, somehow your marriage or your relationship falls short because you're not married to, get you, Noah, right? Or some one of Nicholas Sparks' characters. And then you start looking at your man and you start noticing everything that's wrong with him, and you become blind to everything that's good in him. And you'll pick and you'll nag and you'll wander in your imagination about maybe that guy that I should look at on Facebook, or on and on we can go, and it becomes a marriage killer. And so women, I'm like, man, romantic comedy, get after it, go ahead, but just guard the life of your mind and begin to celebrate all that's right in your spouse. So I'm done meddling. All right, we can get back to, we'll tell bison stories now, all right? So remember, go beyond doing right things and loving righteousness. Matthew 5, 6, is Jesus is going to say this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so just a little tidbit, maybe you keep this in the back of your head, but do you know this, that appetites, they grow the more you feed them. The appetites increase the more you feed them. So you think about it, whether it's food, like the more you just keep it, you'll just, your hunger will grow more and more insatiable. Be it drugs and alcohol. What used to give you a buzz or get you high, now you need more and more to satisfy less and less. We can talk about it like even sexual behavior. Sometimes, man, you get into some perversion, you need more and more to return less and less. But do you know it works the other way as well? That in righteousness, in holiness and godliness, like the more you press into that your appetite begins to grow more and more and more. And that's why it's so critical that we feed our appetite and don't just try and live on when we first came to know the Lord, live on that same thing. No, your appetite should be growing, and you should have a volume of ways you're feasting on holiness and righteousness. So maybe this will help Thanksgiving. Anybody else a foodie in here? Like I'm a foodie, you know, in my house. And so like holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas, like, hey, presents are great and all that, but I'm like, can't wait to get after the bird. And now it's funny, the older I get, I can't like eat as much. And so like when I'm going through Thanksgiving, getting the bird and the dressing and the potatoes, but for the record, my wife makes the greatest stuffing on the planet. Okay, and so we're doing all this stuff, but then I can feel myself getting full and like panic. I'm like, no, there's more. I need more. You know, I want to help, but I can't. I kind of hit your limit, and a lot of times I feel like when Jesus says, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness," that we get satisfied far, far too easily in our pursuit of righteousness and holiness. And so I don't know if you guys have ever done this, like. Just to shoot you straight, like sometimes I can go to bed at night and I feel like I know I've fallen short, and I'll pray and I'll be like, Lord, forgive me. God, thank you for grace. Thank you for the cross. And I'll go to bed unbelievably humble and but full of hope that the next day will be better. However, there's been other days when I've just crushed it in my sermon. Man, I've been in the Word and praying and just, man, got three people born again, baptized four other people, and then I go to bed that night, and I'm like, God, you're welcome, right? Like, just kind of like, and so I think, and a lot of times, you know what, often I feel like we'll take today. Hey, good, I went to church today. Ding, ding, and now you feel like, okay, now I'm good for a little while, God. And then you wait till you get spiritually starving and emaciated, then you're like, maybe I'll go to church again, you know, or be that connect group, whatever it may be. And so I think it's important that we begin to fill ourselves up and we don't get so easily, I went to church once this month, I'll see you again next month, Pastor. But rather, no, we just want to feast every opportunity we get on the Lord. You know that Jesus, it says in John chapter 4, that it says that Jesus was hungry and he was tired. Anyone been there before? Not my most holy moments. And when I'm hungry and tired, get away from me, you know? So not Jesus, though. Jesus sends his disciples into Samaria for some food. What does he do? He sees a woman at a well and he goes, you know what? I'm going to go minister to this little girl. And he goes over here and he begins to get this girl born again. She's so excited about what Jesus does. She tells the whole city. Revival breaks out. See, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. The disciples came back, and despite the fact that he was hungry and tired, he poured out to this girl. Now they brought back food and they said, Jesus, it's time to eat. And he's like, I'm good. He says, my meat is to do the will of my Father who sent me. Right? That there's something satisfying as we go in moments and feast on the Lord and are not easily satisfied. Matthew 5:8 says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The pure in heart. And so how many have ever seen like the Great Wall of China? Have you ever seen like pictures of it? Like it's this unbelievably spectacular thing. In fact, it's so large that you can see it from outer space. All right, so that's a big deal. And so the premise behind building the Great Wall of China was to build a wall that was so long that no warring nation could come around it. It was so high that no warring nation could climb over it. But you want to hear the irony of ironies? That the first 100 years of the Great Wall of China, that it was broken through 3 times. And you know how? They just bribed the gatekeeper. Is it like you build all these great defenses up, but if you're weak on the inside, that thing's it's coming. It's just a matter of time. And so as long as our hearts are unchanged and unchecked, you might be able to say no to some things for a little while, but it just takes the right circumstances and you'll sell out. And so there was Dottie will remember this one. So I was just off back surgery. It was kind of like on all these painkillers and stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to get back. I'm going to start ministry. And so I have staff meeting, said things that I probably should never say as a pastor. And we did that. And I actually drove into New York City I brought a woman in from New York City that was a part of our church in Manhattan. And so I'm driving. And then I'm trying to park my car, parallel park. And it's very difficult to get in. And yet a guy, he's standing in front of his car and he's watching his bumper like this. And I'm like, bro, could you just let me know how far like that? Yeah. And he's just like watching me till finally I tapped his bumper like that. Blah, he just went berserk on me like that. So I got out and I'm just like, oh, please forgive me. And he's not letting up. He's letting me have it even more. Okay, and so just so you know, like I'm like, oh, well, God bless you. I'm so sorry and all that. We leave. And then the woman, she goes, Pastor, you handled that so well. And I'm like, well, if I could just be honest with you, can I let you know what's going on inside of here? I was like, yeah, probably if you weren't here, I probably would have ripped him a new one, you know? And so you can see that it would have played out very different. And so we're all vulnerable. Here's you need to know something about me. That there's moments when I have a very selfish heart, and I hate it. And so there's areas in my life that I'm drinking from a well that's not pure. It's called the flesh, or the old man. Do we have any water snobs in here? You know who you are. Like, you only drink water, but I thank you for having the courage to do that. Right? Like, we only drink bottled water. My daughter should have been the first one to raise her hand. Like, heaven forbid I drink tap water. I'm going to leave you with a very bad impression. Do you know that there's the people in the Cecil Hotel in California that reported the water, tap water, tasting unbelievably odd and strange, a little bit sweet, a little bit salty. And so they looked into it, and they actually found in the water, where the water contained on the roof in that system, there was a dead body, dead decaying body. Yeah. Welcome to every nation, New Jersey. If you're not a bottled water drinker, you will be now. And so, you know that, honestly, that's all of us. Like, we're all disgusted with that. But there's two wells inside of your heart if you know Jesus today. There's the well of the Spirit, and then there's the well of our flesh. And we need to choose which one we're going to drink from. But Jesus says this, that, man, blessed are those that are the pure in heart. And so I'm going to invite Kim to come on up if she could. And I want to end with two other Beatitudes is this, just really quick. And Izzy, could you put Matthew 5:7 up? Matthew 5:7, and then we'll go to 5:9. It says this, that blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. And so here's my big idea, and that what I want to leave with you today is this. is, you know that when you've tasted mercy, you're much more apt to give it. That when you've experienced peace, then you're much more gracious to extend peace to other people. And really, that our message is really the same every single week, is this idea that Jesus Christ, that he offers us mercy when we deserve wrath, that he offers us peace when we deserve war. And so I just want to just give you an opportunity this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've not tasted the mercy of God on your life, it's here. If you've not tasted the peace of God, it's here for you. And so with every head bowed and eye closed, let me just pray real quick. Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.